every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
Come on around back, Arizona. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour, starting a brand new month here for Saturday in March. So we were talking farm fresh. Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, and our goal with this broadcast every the first Saturday of every month is to connect you, the Arizona homeowners, with local commodities coming fresh off the farms and ranches right here in Arizona. Agriculture is a $23 billion industry to Arizona. Cauliflower is $62 million of that. Milk is $72 million. Something not on here, though, is what we're talking about today is wheat. But we have our own patent for it, though.
We do. And it has been on the will before, but sometimes we feature on the Arizona Farm Bureau's will, thanks to the USDA NAS numbers. NASS, I want to be careful when I say that, the National Statistical Service, they always give us the numbers, and sometimes wheat is on that top 16, and sometimes they're not. They don't appear wheat. This time, Eric. You got to...
Wheels go around.
The wheels go around. one that we hadn't had on there for a while, pork, is actually on the will as the top 16. But today... I wanted to introduce Eric Wilkie, who's the president of Arizona Grain. So we actually don't have a farmer with us as our guest, but we have someone that's a major and serious advocate. And you're the first one to say it. Without agriculture, you can have the job you have, right?
Absolutely not. And good morning. I've been in Arizona for a little over 30 years, and I've always been in agriculture from a young age, growing up on a farm in Illinois. And
six brothers, I hear.
Six brothers, built-in labor force. And yes. I decided to exit that labor force and use my education to study markets and economics. And that pursuit ended here in Arizona. Not ended, but it landed me in Arizona.
It actually flourished in Arizona, it sounds like. So you're the president of Arizona Grain, which is a privately held company located in Casa Grande, Arizona. So tell us exactly what Arizona Grain does.
That's a good question. We kind of challenge people from time to time. It's like, tell me a part of your day and I'll tell you where Arizona Grain is part of your day. And we can play that game later if you'd like, because Arizona Grain does a lot of things. So in a simple form, we are grain handlers, seed handlers, merchants. And what that means is for an Arizona farmer, we may sell him his planting seed for cereal grains, for forage grains, buy back his production, and then either change its form through processing or through handling logistics and make it available to other participants in the market. So we're in the seed business, we're in the feed business, we're in the grain business, we're in the bird seed business. We make products for ranchers. So we have we're kind of really ingrained in...
To use a pun, in
agriculture industry.
That is awesome. And so, like my father, who remembers you, we've been retired. The Murphy family's been retired since 2004. But he could buy seed from you, plant it, harvest, grow it, harvest, and then he'd sell it back to you. So talk about coming full circle, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of maybe what we'll get into a little bit today with Durham Wheat, which is a really interesting story. And what we like to call, we like to think of it as is completing a chain or completing the circle. So Desert Durham is got a history of, first of all, of being a very low quality kind of feed product that just didn't really realize its best potential. It was a rotation crop for farmers who were in the cotton business, alfalfa business. And then some plant breeders came in and said, how do we improve this? Because we have a really good environment. So there you have, farming opportunities. You bring in plant breeding and genetics. You have a perfect environment here in Arizona. We have a greenhouse. We don't have inclement weather during our harvest periods, which makes for really good Durham wheat, which is what the pasta industry wants. Then you have the handlers. Then you have the universities in research. then you have the marketing side of it. And so we've been able to build this chain. And when I say we, I talk collectively for the farmers. Again, everybody I mentioned, the handlers, and there's others than Arizona Grain. But we've worked collectively to build this chain to bring greater value to a crop that used to just have a very low value. And that's been the interesting story. So the chain now extends from the research in plant breeding through the farmer, through the handler, all the way to some of the best pasta made in the world. And that's a really well-kept secret that I think we like more people to know about. We travel to Italy every year as an example. And it's kind of fun when you're in a restaurant and they ask, maybe you get a conversation going and they ask you what you do and you say, well, I sell wheat. And what kind of wheat? Well, durum wheat. What do you, you know, and they usually know that durum wheat makes pasta. And then you quiz them and say, where does the best wheat come for the best Italian pastas? And they never get it right. But the answer is Arizona.
Wow. And so obviously, by the way, on that trip to Italy, if you're doing it annually, you can take me and I'll do all the social media, write all the articles. You know, I'm so there. And so you obviously know a lot about grain and grain commodities, to say the least. Arizona grows, and you made reference to it, world-renowned wheat that literally is registered as desert durum, and that's because of its consistent quality. Our desert durum keeps global markets coming back for more, and we think of Italy all the time. So this is a fun part, and I'm going to have you drill down a little bit more on this, Eric, but the phrase desert durum has been trademarked with the U.S. Patent Office under the ownership of the Arizona Grain Research and Promotion Council, which you were chair for a couple of years. And I know that kind of cycles because we have all of our farmers and people in agriculture that they want to be on that council and helping us make good decisions. And then also the California Wheat Commission, because in California and Arizona, this is where we're literally producing this high-quality desert durum. Another thing I like to highlight when I talk about the desert durum with my network is, as a result, only desert durum grown in Arizona and California qualifies for that trademark. The special wheat is produced under irrigation in the desert valleys and lowlands of Arizona and California. And you were kind of talking to us about that before the show. It's like Romy asked, you know, where are we growing all this wonderful quality desert durum?
Yeah, it's really from corner to corner in the state, but it's generally in the arc of the below the Mogollon Rim, of course, which is, you know, if I can describe it, would be starting in Wilcox, going through the Tucson area, through the Santa Cruz Valley, up through the Salt River area, so Maricopa County, good example, and then grown out towards Gila Bend, down through the Welton Mohawk Valley and into the Colorado River Basin. So those are the lowlands, irrigated farm ground where we have the best weather and the most productivity for growing many crops, you know, vegetables and other things. But durum is part of that mix.
It's high protein. Yeah. And color is an issue, especially with our Italian buyers. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So some of the unique things, again, when I talked about there isn't the inclement weather during the harvest period. So one thing about durum wheat is that it doesn't do well if it gets rained on, because there's a term called bleaching, okay? And it basically bleeds out the nice amber yellow color that we expect when we buy pasta. If you bought a pasta and it looked white and chalky in the package, it wouldn't look very appealing. So it's that amber color that we're looking for. When you grow durum wheat in northern climates, and it's grown in North Dakota, Montana, Canada, those would be major production areas. But it can rain during any month of the year, and particularly during the maturation period of August and September in those areas, and they can lose all that color. We don't have that. But one of the things that we've also done with this crop, when I say we, again, I talk collectively about us all, right? Because this is that chain that I mentioned, is that through traditional plant breeding techniques, we have increased the yellow pigments, again, by selecting the right plants that express that more darker yellow color. And that is a very prized thing because, again, it makes for that very appealing pasta that's on your plate. So we've done that. The other thing is that we've added strength and elasticity to the semolina. And semolina is basically durum wheat that's been ground into a flour. And when you make, your pasta with Desert Durum, it's much more al dente. You've all heard that term, right?
Yes.
Al dente, this is good. It's firm to the bite. That's really what al dente means.
Keeps the wonderful pasta shapes that we see.
Right. And you know, if you really are into pasta, and I think I am just because of doing this for so long, that al dente is important. But also that al dente helps and the shape. And why is there so many shapes in pasta? Because every shape has a different texture on your tongue and bite. It holds the sauce differently. So if you have a durum wheat that's very strong, and we say, again, al dente, then it holds the sauce better. It holds up on your plate. It looks more appealing. And those are all characteristics that, you know, a high-quality pasta will exhibit.
So some of our fine pasta chefs are nodding their heads. I know. I can envision it, even though we're on the radio. And, Eric, it sounds like you kind of have a connoisseur. You've developed a connoisseur taste on all of this. You've tried a lot of Italian pasta grown with Desert Durum Arizona wheat.
I have. But, you know, you can also find Desert Durum as a part of many domestic brands as well. We're a premium item because of, again, our environment. Again, we produce this high quality, but we do because we irrigate our crops. We don't rely on only rainfall, you know, present from the sky. And we can get into the whole sustainability question because a lot of people want to ask, and I'll be happy to answer questions about that. Is Desert Durum farming sustainable? And we believe and can talk about how it's more sustainable in many ways compared to other areas. But so, you know, if you want to ask me questions about that.
Well, I am curious. So why would you say that you think, because we know we have to apply irrigated managed water to it. Why do you think it's more sustainable?
Well, one of the things that when you talk about irrigation, particularly if it comes from a river system and so forth, with which the majority of Arizona agriculture is irrigated through the river systems, that is rainfall that just fell another day. It's no different than the rainfall that fell on the crop in North Dakota or Canada and was used today and was gone. This water was just stored for a short period of time, and then it was delivered. So
good
there's
point.
No difference in that resource. It's just the time that it was delivered for. Also because our water has a cost to it. It is managed. Anything that has a cost, you know, as an economist, you know, is going to be rationed or managed to get the best value out of it. And so farmers have become very innovative, whether it's in their drip irrigation, whether it's in the type of flood irrigation that they use, laser leveling fields so that they can run a half inch of water across the field and irrigate the whole field versus, you know, if you have an undulating field, then you got to put more water on. So farmers have learned all these things. Also, you know, looking at irrigating every other row and different things like
right.
that.
Yeah.
The other thing is we don't lose crops here in Arizona. That's a big question about sustainability is if you grow a crop in North Dakota and the rain comes during harvest and you lose it all, or a frost happens late and you lose it all, then all those resources, fertilizer, the tractor time.
Have been wasted.
They've been wasted. We don't ever waste those here.
I never thought of it that way.
So those are just a couple examples.
Yeah.